Just when you thought it couldn't get more stressful during this pandemic, Madame Pelly stirs. The lava-ravaged neighborhoods on Hawaii Island are understandably a bit on edge. We caught up with news photographer Mick Halber, who's made a career of filming the lava's flow. Displaced during the devastating 2018 eruption where hundreds lost their homes, his home was spared, though many in the Kupuna Gardens and Leilani Estates subdivision were damaged or overrun. Halber talked with us after going back up to film the growing lava lake at Halemaumau Crater. He says the recent activity is making many of his neighbors uneasy.
A lot of the residents of Leilani and the whole lower East Rift Zone here were terrorized, you know, and it was a lot of not knowing what was going to happen, in addition to the pain of losing homes and roads and everything you know and love, from the hot pond to the pool, the tide pools at Kapoho Beach Lots and vacation land. And it was very, very difficult for a lot of people. And so it's starting back up again. Struck terror into the hearts of a lot of people down here, I guess is the way to say it, some more than others. We have invested a lot in our property because we think we're safe. Whether we are or not, we don't know for sure. But, you know, this is life on a volcanic island. This is life on Pele's terms. And we're, as we say here in the Puna, we're going with the flow. So we think we're okay, but it does make us a bit uneasy when we see the eruption at Halemaumau, especially the size of the eruption at Halemaumau. My God, that is enormous, absolutely enormous. That's the whole crater that was filled before, a half a mile across. That's the whole crater filled with active lava. Before, what was in there was just a small portion of that crater. And so this is the whole thing that's full of lava.
So it makes you uneasy. I mean, you don't know if she's going to come down your way again.
No, we don't. Exactly. So there is that nervousness behind that. But I don't know. I'm confident that we're safe down here. You have to look at the topography of the whole thing. And, you know, could we get it again? Sure. It could happen anywhere on this island, but more in certain places than in others. But I don't think she's going to come revisit the same place again. And even if she did, most of the places that she erupted are below us. So I think, crossing my fingers, knocking on wood, that we're okay. But I really do think we're okay.
And share with our listeners what life has been like down there, returning to your neighborhood.
Well, you know, just recently we had a man, Sam Estes, who built a road at the end of Luana Street to the south of Fisher 8, got covered up, and he rebuilt that road to his property. And his property actually is on Fisher 8, on the cone, a part of the slope of the cone. So that's caused tremendous anguish here. You know, I mean, a lot of people are saying, hey, he owns the property, let him do whatever he needs to do to get back to it. And then other people say, wait a minute, that's, you know, you shouldn't be bulldozing a road up to the fissure. That's just going to bring visitors here. And, you know, and everything in between. There's just all kinds of angst and feelings about what's happening out there. You know, there's no way to get a consensus, which is true in the Puna in general. You know, there are such diverse opinions here that, you know, I always joke that you can't get them to agree on anything. You know, you can't get them to agree whether the sun is up. So that sounds like a joke, but it's not entirely a joke. But Leilani is a fractured community. It's really torn apart. You know, there's just a lot of bickering and infighting, and, you know, it's not physical, but there's a lot of social media blows up. I'm kind of an administrator for one of the pages, and a lot of people like to continually attack the board of directors, and it's gotten really, really kind of nasty. And it's sad. It's really sad because we live in a beautiful place, and it'd be nice if everybody got along. But
emotions are pretty frayed.
Oh, yeah, they're still raw. That's the thing that's amazing. It's been 2 years and since they erupted here, over 2 years, and almost two and a half. And, you know, as nice a break as that was and as much healing has taken place, there is still a lot of PTSD. There's still a lot of people who live in fear and have angst over the whole thing, and it's totally understandable. You know, it's just the way it is.
So what was it like going back up in the helicopter again?
Well, you know, we go up periodically. It's not like we just did the eruption and stopped. We still have flown over the past couple of years. We just don't do it very often. So I'm good with that. I like to fly. Fly is fun. It'd be nice to fly when we could get close to what we're trying to shoot, but they won't always let us do that. They made us fly at 4,000 feet over Leilani, and so that was quite a distance. But because the eruption was so big, we were able to see it. Now at Holly Mountain Mall, initially they kept us a half a mile away, and it was ridiculous. Actually, it was more than that. I think it was a mile away. But in terms of now, we've gotten a little closer than that, but we still have to be about 4,000 feet above the crater, 5,000 feet above the crater. So it's not really a very good picture. You know, we haven't been able so far to get in with USGS. You go shoot from where they shoot from. Be nice to be on the ground. I was on the ground at the lava lake in Holly Mountain in 2011, I think it was, and it was the most amazing lava lake I've ever seen, and this one dwarfs that one.
You can just sense the power, I guess.
Oh, it's amazing to stand next to an active lava lake like that. It's just, you know, rumbling, deep rumbling in the earth and sloshing, and it's just kind of, it's unnerving and exciting at the same time, you know, which is, you know, the volcano is that way to me. Shows both sides. You know, it's beautiful, it's ugly, it's powerful. When it stops, it's nothing. You know, it's black, it's light and dark. It's just a study in contrast.
Yeah,
that's the amazing part about it.
It sounds like you've got lava under your skin.
Well, yeah, it's been in my blood. I didn't come here to shoot the volcano. I never intended to make the volcano my wife, but it has become my wife. It's been a really good career and a really fascinating thing to me. You know, I moved here in 1984. I was kind of running away in a way, but I moved here for an adventure. I didn't want to live and die in Denver. You know, I was over doing that. And I wanted to go someplace. I wanted to do something. And so I moved here, not really intending to shoot anymore, but I saw Mauna Loa going off and Kilauea going off at the same time. And I said, hey, you know, I better get some equipment. And that was the start of it. You know, I got some gear, and Kent Baker over at KHLN called me up one day and said, go up and shoot the High Fountain eruption. I got in a helicopter, and I was absolutely blown away. I was so taken by the volcano that I just started shooting it. And every time at High Fountain, I would shoot it and shoot it and shoot it, you know, couldn't get enough of it. And then when it rolled down the hill and took some houses and went in the ocean, I had my first show, and I put that out, and it was wildly successful, you know, back in the VHS days.
Right,
that was
a while ago. Do you ever feel, you know, as you talk to your neighbors, you know, some of like the survivor's guilt, knowing that your house survived? And
Oh, absolutely. No, absolutely. When we first got back here, I was thrilled to still have a home. And I felt so blessed that we had been, our place had survived. But, you know, in between that, there were times of feeling like, why did we survive when so many people lost their homes and their properties and lots of their belongings, you know? A lot of people didn't have time to take anything with them or take very little with them. And, so, yeah, there's been survivor's guilt for me. Mm. You know, why that happens, I don't know. You know, why are we the lucky ones? I don't know.
Yeah. But, so you were displaced for how long, 6 months?
We moved out not long after the eruption started, and we were gone for about 6 months. We actually got a rental near the home we lived in Hilo. We'd only lived in this house for 2 years. When the eruption happened. We were displaced for about 6 months, and then we moved back in October. So it wasn't long after the eruption ended, but for a time there, the county came in to Leilani Avenue and put up barricades. When we evacuated, they cut the electricity off. So the electricity on Kupono, Pomaikai, Moku, Kupono, Noheya, at the time, I think Luana, part of Luana was still there, all that area lost electricity. So if you lived here, you had to live without electricity. And they put the barricades up. You couldn't drive in anymore. So that made it so we couldn't get back here. But we would come periodically, and they would let us in, and we could take things out or do what we needed to do on our property if the SO2 was okay, because the air down here was really bad sometimes.
Is air quality okay?
Oh, yeah. There's no problem with the air here now. You know, the fissures still steam. They do put out a little bit of gas, but I don't know what's been happening since the eruption restarted. But up to that point, it had gotten less and less and less to the point where USGS was negligible.
So,
really not a problem. There's a little bit of a smell to it. There are a few people who will never live here again. Some people that have evacuated their homes, just abandoned their homes. But I don't have an exact figure on how many, but I would say most of them are back. My neighbor's house right now, they had water damage that came through. They are back in, but they've had a tarp on that roof ever since the eruption. Over 2 years, they've had a tarp on that house. That's been a real, real problem here. They have a hoo of people. They're going after Lloyd. Lloyd's took care of some people, didn't take care of them. And I think they have 75 people, homeowners, that are going after Lloyd's that Lloyd's won't pay them.
So did your house suffer any damage?
Well, our roof was completely rusted. When we came back, the entire roof was rusted. So we replaced that roof, and we have actually four roofs. We have three carports and a home. And we replaced the roof on our home and took that tin and reworked it and, you know, did the other one. The other ones will have to be replaced eventually, too. We lost some plants, we lost paths, but it wasn't that bad, comparatively speaking.
That was a conversation we had with Big Island photographer Mick Calver, talking to us about getting back in the air, covering this latest eruption of Kilauea. He believes his neighbors are still suffering from post-traumatic stress and are nervous with this latest eruptive phase of Kilauea.